Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my sweet lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love. It's certainly been another flyby week with much happening. So let's open in prayer using some scripture to bless our Lord.
From Psalms 118, Lord, we give thanks to you for thou art good, whose mercies endure forever. Lord, you answer us when in distress, for you are on our side. So we'll not fear, rather put our trust in you above all. We ask for God's perfect medicine given to any listener who needs a remedy tonight. We pray for the many persecuted Christians around the world and the Iranian people. May you grant them a new righteous leader, knowing thy will be done to fulfill your prophecy. And may this study give added wisdom to those who have an ear to hear. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
Well, I guess the biggest news is President Trump's visit to Davos last week.
Yes, and he returned with a positive attitude that Greenland is being negotiated, especially since the head of NATO sees the importance of, at the very least, to expand our presence there. Denmark, with a low population, does not have a military large enough to stave off Russia or China's desire to also occupy Greenland, who is getting $600 million every year from Denmark, who experts say really cannot continue that much longer.
Yeah, Greenland's population is only 57,000.
They could all fit inside an NFL football stadium. So we really do need to expand our presence and be able to build that Iron Dome, not just to protect Greenland, but the United States as well.
Well, Israel has finally been able to locate the remains of the last hostage.
Yes, very good news. He was found inside one of the underground tunnels. What's perplexing is that President Trump gave Hamas the credit when it definitely was Israel who found him. Should we now like Hamas? Anyhow, now the IDF can finish the job and get Hamas disarmed. And what would be the best scenario? Of course, out of Gaza altogether.
That is, if Trump allows them to.
At this point, that doesn't seem likely. As well, we're all watching Iran and the surrounding ships and the enormous amount of military power threatening its survival. However, possible negotiations are back on the table.
Is that just another stalling tactic?
I don't know. Iran's regime has slaughtered over 500,000 of its people. So if they stay in power, I think Trump's legacy will go down the tubes. And many are forgetting that Saudi Arabia in 2023 agreed to normalize all relations with Iran in a deal brokered by China to have each other's back, which is why they have denied their airspace for any military operation. And also other Gulf Arab states, even the UAE, has done as well. And new reports are surfacing, as I saw in the Times of India yesterday, that Qatar has actually threatened President Trump to kick out our largest airbase in the Middle East, which is in Qatar, saying that we are only tenants. That's a lot of pressure for Trump to deal with from nations he was made to think were his friends. Therefore, as of yet, he's not moving forward with strikes, which is why we see him open the door for negotiations.
Yeah, you know, there's so much going on behind the scenes.
For sure. But I will say this to President Trump. Open your eyes. They have been using you all along. Pray for those poor people who had high hopes and believed Trump 2 weeks ago when he said help is on the way.
Will Israel initiate a strike?
Not if Trump says not to. And I hope I'm wrong, but it appears to me that Qatar is pulling the strings here. Of course, this as well fits into prophecy. Iran is heavily involved with Russia in Ezekiel 38, which, by the way, won't happen till after we are gone. more towards the middle of the tribulation. So either way, they're going to have plenty of time to build up even more.
And then there's the Board of Peace.
Yes, that looks more like a parade of red devils just waiting for the right time. Trump even invited Russia to join. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Netanyahu is furious about Turkey and Qatar on this board, but to no avail. And in my opinion, the Arab nations are threatening Trump besides our air bases with pulling out of the Board of Peace with all their money if he strikes Iran. These are serious matters, but it appears to me at this time Trump wants to cut a peace deal with Iran so then he can still brag about making peace in the Middle East.
Never forget, God is at the helm.
He sure is. Amen to that.
We do welcome your opinions and your end time questions either by email to SheilaShofarMinistries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always appreciated, which includes you in our monthly newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, last week we began to study the armor of God in Ephesians 6.
Yes, so a little recall would be advantageous.
Well, I agree, for it is a great analogy concerning total sanctification, which we've been talking about for a long time, which is a process left up to one's own resolve as to how long it takes to achieve it. In other words, more word equals more Jesus equals more armor to cover all the flesh.
And also to reach the Holy of Holies.
Yes, where you can stay if you choose to by spending valuable time in His Word, which I suggest, and it's only a suggestion that works for me, and that is tithing your time to the study of His Word. Okay, remember the high priest could not commune with God till he stood in the Holy of Holies. And that was just once a year on Yom Kippur. Today, that veil has been torn, and we can enter any day at any time. But it's still a prerequisite to wash first, according to Ephesians 5:26.
Yeah, we left off last week asking a question.
We did. Since each piece of armor is progressively put on in it, exact order, why is the helmet, along with using the sword, put on last?
And we will get to that soon. Also, we want to remind you that the Greek has three actions.
It does, and the word for put, to put on, is in duo, meaning it's in the present tense, not future or past, using the past voice, which means you are the receiver. He's talking to you, not someone else. And the most important is it's in the imperative mood, meaning it's a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay, let's read Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11.
My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Now, we looked at this last time, but it is so true. Without His Word, you cannot fight the enemy, and you are responsible. You know the Jewish saying,
studying God's Word is the highest form of worship.
That it is. Now, Paul gives his strategic intelligence report, naming four different classes or ranks of evil angels. Verses 12 and 13.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Notice he doesn't say some armor. He says the whole armor of God, so to stand against all evil. Now Paul is about to give us a detailed description using six idioms worn by a Roman soldier, which is ironic because Paul had been chained often to Roman soldiers, as in Acts 22. And you might think, oh, poor Paul. But actually, poor soldier who had to listen to Paul for 8 hours at a time. And they were rotated, so many heard the gospel.
It is noted that many were converted.
Yes, many. Those chains were not to keep Paul from escaping. They were for the soldiers not to escape Paul's words. Can you imagine being chained to Paul for 8 hours prior to salvation?
Like being stuck in an elevator with an insurance salesman.
Now that's funny. Okay, moving on. But let me first say that the Roman belt or girdle was 6 to 8 inches wide, and all the other armor with their weapons were hooked to it, which gives freedom of movement, and must have the girdle first to apply the rest. So, how does that speak to us?
We must put on the truth first.
Right. It's that freedom we felt when first saved. Remember that?
And God is a God of order.
Also, you mature Christians, tell your new disciple to get in the word quickly so it will take root before the enemy comes and snatches the truth away, as we read in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Okay, Ephesians 6, now verse 14.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
And please read 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Again, righteousness comes from the scriptures. So first you must hear and accept the truth to apply your girdle, and that immediately makes you righteous. Your breastplate of righteousness protects your vital organs from the arrows that do come.
But still in the outer court.
Yes, and one must move forward quickly. Paul told Timothy it was a race, and he had accomplished it. And he also talked about it being a race in Hebrews 12, verse 1.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Run with endurance. It's not just a casual stroll in the park. Get serious about it. Also read Philippians 3:14.
I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
He presses forward and also says in 1 Corinthians 9:24 that
do not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
But in our race, you don't have to be first, but you should finish the race to receive the prize of the high calling of God. Your ministry, which we should all have something that we excel at.
And if you're going to run a race, You need the right footwear.
Yes. Again, it's the word which puts on your shoes to prepare you to share the gospel with others and move into the second court called the holy place. Verse 15, now we'll look at the third piece of armor.
And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Also, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says to walk circumspectly, which in the Greek actually means to tread vigilantly, redeeming the time wisely. Ask yourself, do you redeem your time wisely? You probably know that the soldiers were shod to trample on the enemy. They had heavy spikes on the bottom of their boots.
like sharp cleats.
Yes, and if their enemy was wounded but still alive, they would stomp on them.
Yeah, you know, they were gruesome at times.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you know our bodies are a temple also. Our spirit is sanctified first. That's the first court. Then the spirit moves out to the soul, the second court, and then to the Holy of Holies as our flesh is crucified. You don't want to stay an outer court Christian.
God cannot use you if you are not washed first.
As in both feet, as Jesus did to his apostles at the Last Supper. And just a little side note, in Revelation, where John is addressing the seven churches, particularly the Laodicean church, he says in Revelation 3, verse 16, that they were lukewarm, meaning stagnant, where bugs could thrive, by the way. He could not use them effectively, for they were staying in the outer court.
But they were saved.
Yes, or they would not have been included in the seven church assemblies. But he had to spit them out from his mouth from having any useful ministry. That's what that scripture means. Okay, as we continue in the word, we are gifted with more faith. Real strong faith. Ephesians 6, now in verse 16.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Again, more word equals more Jesus equals more armor equals more faith equals Holy of Holies to quench all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. You know, I thought this was interesting in that metal was not always available in the Old Testament to use for armor. So they would use oiled animal skins and just before a battle would soak themselves in water, as the arrows often had fire on the ends. Made me think again of the water of the word to fight in battles with our enemy. And did you know that Isaiah used these idioms of armor as well upon seeing no justice in the land of his people? Read Isaiah 59 verse 17.
For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
So, not just a New Testament idea. So now we have the shield of faith. And what does the word say how we get this shield called faith?
In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You know, you can't just say you have faith and not be in his word. Remember what the Antichrist's weapon is in Revelation 6, verse 2?
The bow.
Mm-hmm. Because you need the bow to shoot the arrow. Let's also read in Psalms 91, verse 4.
He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day.
And finally, let's do Ephesians 6 now, verse 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Now the desire to be baptized, both in water and the Holy Spirit, becomes prominent. Like jump-starting your battery with more of a hunger to be in his word, an insatiable passion to know him more. And that's why Paul puts the helmet on last. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8.
Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Okay, this is really important because it's not the hope of our salvation. That word for hope in the Greek is elpis, and it really means confidence. Look it up yourself. I think King James messed up on this one. Mm-hmm. It really should say the confidence of our salvation. I am confident that I am saved. So that's a sure thing for those who are totally sanctified, which is why we want to be totally sanctified, because we will know without a doubt that we are saved. And that means we look forward to the next kingdom. Please continue.
For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And that is a great rapture scripture that we use all the time, especially when we get closer to the fall feasts. But I want to speak now to you mature Christians that are, have been listening. And, of course, hopefully you are totally sanctified and therefore protected. And, by the way, now your brain is protected and you have great knowledge that will continue to grow with even more knowledge as long as you stay in the Holy of Holies. Redeem your time wisely. Tell your disciples to be careful with their time. Prioritize their time. Get rid of the junk that doesn't need to be in your life. And, of course, be in the Word daily. If you miss a day, double up on the next. And then, number 7 is prayer. And that completes all the armor. For now, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Let me add, the fervent prayer of the totally righteous availeth very much. And now Philippians 2:12. It makes a lot more sense. You know that scripture where Paul said to work out your own salvation? He just meant you yourself must move forward to complete your own total salvation. And sometimes in the beginning that might seem like work. But as you go, the hunger grows, and then you can't wait to get into the Word. It's really true. It really happens. First your spirit, then your soul, and then your body. And let me leave you tonight with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And, no, I just said 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I think I want to leave you tonight with 1 Peter 1:10. I'm almost out of time. He said, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. To make your call and election a sure thing. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember, this study is not just for beginners, it's for you mature Christians. So to refresh yourselves on how to disciple other newer believers in its proper order. We should all be discipling somebody, at least one at a time. All right, let me ask you, if you're listening tonight and you've never made Yeshua over, totally over your life, make him Lord now. You will be able to escape the coming horrendous judgment on the earth. Luke 21 says, you can do this with just a simple prayer. Admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit, then grow and let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't master over your life, then Satan is. There's no in between. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom, till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.